Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Danny Talbot died at the age of 19 from a drugs overdose while he was still in aftercare, which was being provided by the HSE. He was a vulnerable young man in desperate need of support from a very young age, but the interventions he received were insufficient and they were poorly coordinated. His is one of four deaths of young people reviewed by a national review panel and published today. A fifth review has been kept private at the request of the family concerned. In a moment, we'll speak to the chairperson of that review panel, but first this report from Della Kilroy.
Danny, at age 9, presented himself like a 2-year-old. He came through, he was 9, he couldn't wash himself, use toilet or chew food. He seemed to have raised himself. Like, did these professionals not see the signs? Like, there was never any early childhood intervention in Danny's life, and it's just appalling that these are the childcare we have in this country.
This is the story of Danny Talbot. His childhood was that of suspected abuse and neglect, spent in and out of the childcare system. His mother was intellectually disabled and his father died at home and was found by Danny at age 10. Since he was a young boy, Danny's aunts, Donna and Debbie, have been tirelessly campaigning for answers as to why Danny didn't receive the support he needed.
Despite all the efforts that were made, his principal had wrote to the HSE numerous times, and we were appalled to learn that Danny was coming into school undernourished, no lunch, filthy, dirty, sexualized behaviours displayed at age 7, attending school with love bites, and nobody saw fit to call the guards or to remove these children.
Danny died in 2009 of a suspected drug overdose at the age of 19. He was in Dublin's homeless services and in receipt of state aftercare at the time. In September 2011, I spoke to retired social worker Moira Butterley. She dealt with Danny while he was in and out of the out-of-hours hostel service.
I met Danny when he was a very young teenager, about 14, and he had become homeless for all kinds of reasons. A disturbed young boy, in my opinion. Danny's childhood was absolutely horrific, is all I can describe it. And so Danny ended up being coming in and out of service for probably months.
What was Danny like as a person?
He didn't trust authority, which I don't blame him, and authority did nothing to help him trust him either. Danny was wandering on the streets and came out of our system, which he did a bit. He would get into all kinds of situations, to be honest with you, because the streets of Dublin are not a safe place for children, I can tell you that now. And he actually didn't get the care he needed, not by any means from the state.
Danny's teenage years were spent on the streets of Dublin. In 2011, on Dublin's boardwalk, I asked those who knew Danny what they knew of his life while he was homeless and on the streets. You knew Danny?
I did, yeah. He was a kind of a friend of mine I knew from around town. I'd see him going to places like Falcha or Merchant's Quay, dropping in for a cup of tea.
What did you know about him?
Not much. He was just a lost, quiet lad, basically, the same as most lads on the streets, trying to get by, basically. And just trying to keep busy during the day, doing whatever you could until they went into the hostel. And he was a good guy. I knew Danny, I knew him since he was young, so I knew him a good few years. You just hear that, the usual story, messed up parents and messed up life and stuff like that. And it was surprising to hear that he actually passed away when he did, because he was so young.
Documents relating to Danny's early childhood are missing, but in June 2012, an independent review into the deaths of children who were in the care of the state detailed that Danny's was a life of instability, without access to adequate services. At the time, I spoke again to Danny's aunts, Donna and Debbie.
There was no need for Danny Talbot to have died. When he did come to live with me, the promises that were made by the HSE was unbelievable. But that plan never followed through. But the sad thing is, at this particular time, the child was crying out for help and he wanted nothing more but this to work. And the social workers told us time and time again that he was on a wait list, and that he would get his counselling, and he even met his key worker and said, for once I'm in an environment where I feel loved, I'm happy, I wake up happy, I go to sleep happy, and they're letting me down yet again. How, you tell me, like, how is lessons being learned? How many more children need to die before something is done?
Today's report deals with Danny in the Luke report, one of four published today. It reveals that he was at risk of significant harm for considerable periods while in the care of the state, and that there were serious weaknesses in management and accountability within the HSE regarding his case. Danny's aunts today spoke on the News at One, giving their reaction to the report findings.
Read the report, he hadn't even got an allocated social worker for 4 years. Now, we were aware of the failures that went on in Danny's life, and we have said in the past he was failed from the cradle to the grave. We now know that to be 100% accurate, because reading the report we learned of new information, and the fact that he hadn't even got a social worker, like, where was his voice? Who was listening to him? You know, who was saying, how are you today? He hadn't even got a social worker.
Like, every time he went, they were there in the courts, and he kept on putting up the barriers and saying he didn't fit the criteria. The funding was low. Like, what does fit the criteria? He's dead now.
Danny Talbot's aunts ending that report from Della Kilroy. Well, we asked for an interview with Children's Minister Dr. James Riley, but he wasn't available for our programme this evening. With me in studio now is the chairperson of the National Review Panel, which carried out this report, Dr. Helen Buckley. Dr. Buckley, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Audrey.
Listening to that report, it really would break your heart. And listening to his aunts saying that he was failed from the cradle to the grave, the state should have stepped in to protect him, but it didn't. From your investigation of his case, was it incompetence on the part of the HSE, or was it systemic failure?
I think you would probably say it was a combination of both. Certainly the systems were very, very weak and very flawed at the time that he was a small child. He should have been the subject of attention a long time before it happened. He was nearly 10 years of age when his case came to attention, even though concerns had been expressed about him at school before that. And then he was placed in a situation that really didn't meet his needs. I think his foster parents tried their best to deal with him, but his behaviour, as we heard described there by his family, was very, very challenging. And not surprisingly, that broke down. And after that, even though I think the systems and the services came into action around that time, it was really too late. He was quite unmanageable at that stage. He was very difficult to deal with, very resistant to help. And he had a terrible attraction to the most risky situations, you know, the placements in the city centre where he was vulnerable and subject to all sorts of harassment and bullying. And then he just got into a downward spiral and then very tragically died when he was in aftercare.
Why did the systems kick in too late? Why weren't they in place much earlier? Again, was it incompetence or something else?
Well, it would be handy to be able to say that was 20 years ago and the systems weren't fully developed. But in actual fact, there were systems there then. That was not that long after the Kilkenny report, where there had been a good investment in child protection services. So at that stage, it was probably confusion, incompetence, a failure to fully take on board the consequences for neglected children if they don't get attention immediately. The other point that we brought out in the report was that he was a child that had a learning disability. And children with that sort of problem don't communicate the same way as other children. They don't take instruction. They find it difficult to learn in many, many respects, not just academically. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem to have been recognised until he was around 14. And that would have made a huge difference to the way he understood what was expected of him and the sense that he made of the world around him, really.
Would you say his death was entirely preventable?
Well, I could never say that, Audrey, because I could never say that these things won't happen again, because children in those and young people in those circumstances, they come from very adverse circumstances. And, you know, he was born into a very difficult situation. So I could not say his death was entirely preventable, but I could identify, and we have identified, numerous weaknesses all along. And we've been, I think, as honest as we could in the report about those.
And one of the other cases, you investigated five, four were published today. Mm-hmm. Two of those, John, who was four, and a little girl, Susan, 18 months. You, in both of those cases, you find no link between the nature and the quality quality of the services offered to their families and those children's deaths. Mm-hmm. But Nicholas is a different story. Mm-hmm. He died suddenly at the age of 17.
Yes, Nicholas lived for a long time in a situation that, in hindsight, you could say was a very undesirable situation. He lived in a drug using environment. He actually had access to drugs in his home. And at a very early age, he was addicted to drugs. And our analysis of that was, while he was actually in a sheltered situation, while he had good contact with professionals, there was a level of optimism evident in the work that they did that really was unjustified. We felt that action should have been taken earlier. And it was one of those cases where his father meant the best for him, probably did his best in a very limited way, but himself was subject to huge difficulties, and we felt he should actually have been taken out of that situation earlier.
This isn't the first report into the deaths of children in care. We've had a number before. I think 91 children and young people known to Child Protection Services have died since 2010. Mm-hmm. Are you investigating all of those at the moment?
Not all of them, but the majority of them, yes. Mm-hmm. I think you have to break down these figures in order to understand mm-hmm. them better, because 91 is a very overwhelming number. And if it's understood that over a third of those young people and children died of natural causes, and those include terminal illnesses that they had before they were in contact with the services. It includes sudden infant deaths, and it includes, you know, congenitive difficulties that the children were suffering from. So if you extract those, that makes it a little bit more manageable to understand, I think. And of those, then, a considerable number died as a result of accidents where the lifestyle that they had and the parenting or lack of supervision that they had led them to indulge in very reckless behaviour, mm-hmm. you know, driving too fast, some drowning, some falls, those kind of accidents. And then three very sadly had their lives taken by other people. And a very disturbing number of young people took their own lives.
But for the likes of Danny Talbot, how many other Danny Talbots are out there now at this very moment? Because we've heard so much about the pressure that the social services, mm-hmm. social workers are under, the lack of resourcing and all of that. You could not be confident that more young people will not die in state care.
I think the children that are like Danny, that are known about, are getting a good service. I think I could say that with some confidence. It's the ones that aren't known about. It's the ones that are amongst the 9,000 children that are waiting for allocation of a social worker. And it's the ones that are really under the radar at the moment that could potentially be extremely vulnerable. They're the ones that I think could be worried about. And I think, in fairness to the Child and Family Agency, they have put together, they've really taken the whole business very strongly over the past couple of years. They've put together a good service delivery model. They have good policies in place. We now have HICWA standards in child protection. So all of those issues are there. But the pressure on the services is gigantic, and it's actually growing all the time.
Thank you very much indeed for coming in this evening. That's Dr. Helen Buckley, who chaired the National Review Panel, which carried out that report into the deaths of five young people in care. And we'll have more on this story throughout the programme.